Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pharmacy Interoperability and Emerging Therapeutics Task Force. This task force meeting is open to the public, and your comments are welcome in Zoom chat throughout the meeting or during the public comment period that is scheduled around 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members, so when I call your name, please let us know if you're here. Hans Botendijk.
Good morning.
And Shelley Spiro, our other co-chair, is not able to join us today. Pooja Babra.
Good morning.
Chris Blackley. Tyler Blend. David Butler.
Present.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Raj Gavarti. Adi Boonlopoli.
Present.
Jim Georges.
Present.
Summer Milan. Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister. Devin McGraw.
Good morning, everyone.
Keaton. Good morning, Devin. Keaton Mehta.
Good morning.
Daniil.
Good morning.
Elio Oliveira. Narish Thunderajan. Scott Robertson.
Good morning.
Alexis Snyder. Good morning, Scott. Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Phil Sutherland. Christian Tadris.
Good morning.
Jill Cherney.
Good morning.
And Afton Wagner.
Good morning.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Now, please join me in welcoming Hans for his opening remarks. Hans?
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this session. We are about halfway, give or take. And when we look at the agenda, we'll see that we're going to spend a little bit of time on task one and task two in particular to review the recommendations that have been made or that still could be made And then next week, we'll continue with the specialty medicines and topics there to round out tasks three and four. I will be off video today. I apologize, but I'm in a setting that that's not very conducive to using that. And I'm on my own today. Shelley could unfortunately not make it. She has another sessions. Let me know if I go straight somewhere or need a quick nudge as we're trying to run through this and make sure that we stay on point and target. Don't hesitate. So with that, I think we can start to jump in and go to the next slide. Okay, so if possible to display the spreadsheet, I'm going to walk through a little bit of the work that Shelley, myself, and others have started to progress on formulating more final, not final, but more final recommendations. What you see in this, and we're looking at topic one, I'm going to start with that, is in columns D and E, where we're going to concentrate on. So a little bit further to the right. If you can display both, that would be great. Through our discussions, we have developed a number of topics in column A. Don't need to go back, but and then we started to address a series of questions in that context. Column D resulted in a number of draft recommendations from across the task force. And what we started to do is move them, copy them into column E, look at where there are similarities across some of the recommendations and try to combine them and start to look at where other comments later on that were in the draft recommendations were actually already addressed or with some adjustments could cover multiple rows. So what you will end up looking at is that in column E, for topic A reflects everything that we believe we have reasonably addressed from the comments in draft column D. We have indicated in a number of places where you see your name that might state that there's nothing behind it yet, that there's no cover yet that we still need to pick up, or that we might have a question, say, can you please check, double check that we got it covered? We think we did, but we might not. So you can use D to make sure is that, did we get everything complete? I know that there are a couple of things in column D that have been added that we have not copied into E yet. So for example, if you look in D2, a little bit below Anna's comments and recommendation, we have not had a chance to move that into E yet. And there might be a couple other ones like that along the way that others added comments after we already jumped into topic two. So for today, what we wanted to do is focus on E, start to go from the top, get a sense with agreement and consensus around the recommendation and the rationale. We're not going to try to really get into the wordsmithing, but if somebody would like to volunteer in some of these to do a little bit further wordsmithing, that's more than welcome to do that after the session, because we don't want to have too many people in column E right now. I'll go in there in a second and make notes. But if you can also look at, is it providing the intent of the recommendation, and are we all comfortable with that as a consensus perspective? We will not vote on that per se. We are primarily going to go by, if somebody has a concern with it, please bring it up. And then we can address that. We might adjust it, or we might be able to reflect different perspectives in that. And along the way, I will be calling on names wherever possible, reasonable, or if you're already ahead of me, if you can volunteer, that where there's a little bit more work to be done to please do so, so that we can work through this as rapidly as possible. Before then jumping in, any questions at this point in time? And then we start at the top. Any things that we need to address before we do that?
Real quick, Hans, would you like me to do any real-time edits or just capture notes separately for us to address later? Or would you like to do real-time edits just so we're not both writing over each other?
Yeah, if you can, let me do real-time edits.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you can make notes in, let's say, column F or somewhere next to it, that that then between the two of it afterwards, we can catch it all. And then whatever was still left in column D will pick up then as well.
Perfect.
Hans, this is Steve Eitner. As part of transitioning into going into the detail, one of the things that I noticed is that we're not consistent about differentiating or aligning or terminology between pharmacists, pharmacies, and other healthcare providers. Because under 21st Century Cures Act, pharmacists and pharmacies are considered providers. So that's something that, again, I just noticed it from kind of an endemic piece that we probably want to have consistent language throughout.
Good point. And since we as task force are working on focusing on pharmacy and pharmacists particularly, we need to make sure that we do that. Is it acceptable that we say we use the term provider for non-pharmacists and pharmacies, and then we use pharmacy and pharmacies either together, both, or one or the other, where we particularly are calling out the pharmacy and pharmacist, or the pharmacist, but then we provider as the non-pharmacist and non-pharmacy? Is that a reasonable way?
I guess I want to interject real quick. Because the law and the regulations incorporate providers or incorporate pharmacists in providers in 21st Century Cures Act, I would suggest that if you're going to want to refer to healthcare providers other than pharmacists, you probably want a term other than providers.
Are we okay then with clinician to use that? Or is it another term that we are comfortable with? Because that it also drifts in the same kind of thing. Is it the individual or the professional, or is it the organization that we reference? Is there any preference from anybody? Because this is because of our context, we have to separate the two for this purpose.
I mean, providers clearly has a definition, right, in regulation. I don't know that clinician does.
Yeah, and this is David Butler. As speaking as a pharmacist, I consider pharmacist a provider, healthcare provider, who is also distinct and separate from the facility, which is the pharmacy. Much as a practitioner in a hospital would consider themselves separate from the hospital, even though the names sound very similar, a pharmacist can practice independent of a pharmacy.
Why can't we just have an overarching thing at the top that says when we use the term provider, we're talking about providers that are not pharmacists or pharmacies? Because we really have several recommendations in here that are intended to apply to the provider community that are not pharmacists and pharmacies in terms of exchanging data with pharmacists and pharmacies. So I worry about sort of sub-picking within that group. Isn't it a much better idea to use the term provider and just make sure with right up at the top of all of our recommendations that we're clear that when we use that term, we don't mean pharmacists or pharmacies?
I would support that because in this context, we do need to somehow get a reasonable term for each of the three, and that we can point to one, the other, or all three in combination.
So this is Pooja. I was going to say, but I also think it's important because the recommendations are going to, you can't have pharmacy and pharmacist in all of these because sometimes they're exchanging data. I mean, certification related recommendations are going to apply to the, you know, the pharmacy versus actual pharmacist. So I want to make sure we're not combining pharmacy and pharmacist and everything.
Any objection to Devin's suggestion?
This is like just as an observation, because things like 21st Century Cures Act includes pharmacists in their definition of providers. That's a place where things might need a little additional explanation because there is a internal conflict.
Yeah, I agree with Stephen.
Okay, so maybe what we should do is then ponder this a little bit more because we are not quite immediately able to do it. We recognize we need to do it, and then we'll come back to that and find the right word. Any suggestions are welcome. Let's have a look at, we have some hands up. Christian, go ahead.
Yeah, just on the terminology, another piece to tease out is, as an example, in pharmacy regulatory world, we're often dealing with the situation where pharmacists providing more traditional dispensing type of activities and aren't engaging in, say, clinical services or and so we have to sometimes put modifiers on the word pharmacist to tease out authorities they may have to engage. It may be a word like authorized provider or authorized pharmacist or credentialed pharmacist versus pharmacist. So it's another nuance that we might find a modifier that can differentiate pharmacist acting in different capacities. One that may be more facility-based authorized activity or default, and then one that might be either disconnected activity, independent practice authorities, or what we would consider more clinical in nature and requiring scope of practice authorizations, but is not the dispensing activity. So just something to think about as we figure out how we're going to define that, but pharmacy regulatory speak might be helpful here.
David.
Is it possible to just make it an exclusionary in stating pharmacist is the provider within a pharmacy system, pharmacy is the facility, and non-pharmacist providers would be all of those outside of that, those two sets?
Would make it a little bit longer in a couple of places, but it would be precise. Jim.
Sorry, got off mute. Yeah, it doesn't sound like that would meet it because to say pharmacy versus pharmacist versus non-pharmacy provider. What I thought I heard was there are pharmacy providers as well. So my question would be, if we use those three, how would we distinguish between pharmacists who are not engaged in some of these clinical activities versus pharmacists who are doing the standard pharmacy work?
I'd suggest that we put this on the side, that we are going to look at how we can do this, recognizing that there's the language in the various laws, but that for this document, we need to somehow be able to address three different aspects. Where we can use definitions in that are also used in law, great. But if that makes it harder to distinguish the non-pharmacy, non-pharmacists from them, as we currently use provider, we'll have to come up with a approach to that. So let's table that for now. We'll come back to that. Then we need to figure that one out. And if anybody in the meantime has suggestions, if you can put that in the chat, it would be great. Okay, let's then go back to E2 on the spreadsheet. And I think Tricia, you're in there. Yep, there we go. So looking then, putting that issue aside, we know that we need to resolve it. If you look at E2, first recommendation, I already picked up Ike's typo in the recommendation. Any general thoughts that we are not in the right direction with that recommendation, that we're missing something? And as you go through it on the rationale, Ike is making a suggestion to add medications to it. And I suspect, Ike, that you would mean advancing the prescription and medication along those lines.
Hans, it might be helpful to read the recommendation in case there are members that are not online to view the screen.
Okay.
Or are having some type of on audio only.
So the first recommendation reads, recommend that ONC engage both the NCPDP and HL7 standards development communities, including pharmacists and providers representations, to advance the needs of pharmacies/pharmacists collaborating with providers to advance integrated care delivery through enhanced funding, accelerating progress in the public health space. Yeah. Just going to change this to that. That's the recommendation. Just making a couple of little adjustments there to make it better. Any other thoughts there? Or are we okay for now? We can just still do wordsmithing later.
Hi, this is Scott. There is sort of just there. The second idea of the second concept in that statement of enhanced funding just seems to be sort of tacked on. There is the work for enhancing integrated care delivery by, you know, engaging the standards organizations and the professionals. But then HL7 and NCPDP really don't directly impact advancing funding. I don't know if that's an issue. I'm just realizing that it's almost two different ideas. But if it works, it's fine.
And the intent was for ONC to address the enhanced funding.
Yeah.
Able to work with both to advance, accelerate the. So perhaps splitting the sentence and making the second part more clear that it's ONC being asked and suggested to consider funding, accelerating a progress, working through these two organizations. That was one of the points. Part of this that there is some funding going on, but NCPDP is a critical party to help advance this space as well. And so
yes. Okay.
So we split that up and then wordsmith that a little bit more. You think then the intent is there or is a fundamental problem otherwise?
No, I think if we split up the sentence, it will be clearer.
Okay.
I think I see some things on the side in the comments that should public health be mentioned in the first half along with the integrated healthcare delivery.
Okay.
You know, I could take that as a task to just provide a revision.
Thank you for volunteering that. That's great. We'll put your name next to it. Pooja, you have your name up.
Yeah, I think it's important to keep that in there. I think that the intent of this was, to make sure there's kind of equal funding across SDOs. I guess I'm just wondering, I agree, maybe we just need to be more clear about it. I'm also thinking, we just want to make sure that this does stay in from a, from a funding standpoint. So I agree. I think I want to make sure we're not taking this out because I think it's an important aspect.
Okay. Thank you. Any other general comments there or specifics? Scott will pick that up. Anything related to the rationale? And Ike, if you can clarify whether that's indeed a simple, not only advancing the prescription and medications, or that you had additional thoughts there?
Well, I'll just say that making a suggestion on the revising the recommendation, I'll make sure that the rationale actually supports both sides.
Okay.
But I'm not seeing anything overtly missing. Obviously, I'm saying.
All right. Anybody else? I'm going to adjust the statement by Ike and see whether this is what was meant. If not, Ike, if you can further clarify that, that would be great.
I think we're good.
Okay. Let's move then to the next. Recommend that ONC work with the pharmacy pharmacists and the public health and access indicates organizations, including CDC and STILTS, to provide education, awareness, and where needed, further policy guidance to pharmacy pharmacists regarding submission of case reports, immunization data in particular is bidirectional, coming from Ike to work that in, laboratory results reporting, syndromic surveillance reporting, and other data required by PHAs and supporting standards available to report this information to comply with current reporting requirements. It's a pretty long statement. So I'd suggest that we're going to split this at least up.
There's probably a little extra wordsmithing just on tenses and like, but that's not critical at the moment.
Okay. And I'm clarifying your note here is that if we put in there bidirectional immunization data sharing, would that clarify better what you're looking at?
Yeah, it may need a little additional restructure, but the idea here is that not all information exchanged with public health is unidirectional.
Correct. Do we want to make that statement generally, and not just for immunization?
That would be fine. My point was to call attention that it is. Yes, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I would advocate that we make it broader than immunization because I think some of the potential strategies are to be more creative with bidirectional sharing. So I would be in favor of being less specific about immunization.
And it is listed currently as part of. So case reports, immunization, laboratory results reporting, syndromic surveillance, and other data required by PHA. So we're not limiting to immunization. But we can make the bidirectional aspect applicable to all.
well, article where it's appropriate or where, yeah. where it's fine. Again, the point being that bidirectional where supported or something in that space. Perfectly happy with it. My primary goal was to make sure that bidirectional was recognized because there are benefits to pharmacists in being able to access IIS data as they're administering vaccines, even outside a physician's order per se. You know, pharmacists, at least in Texas, would have access to MTRAC, our immunization registry, so that they could help determine whether an individual needed an immunization or not.
Okay. Other comments here? Ike, would you be willing to do a little further wordsmithing based on this to clarify that?
Gladly.
Okay, we'll put your name behind that. And I put stuck in a little note here to include where applicable across the board. And any comments on the rationale? Is that sufficiently capturing the key points? And note the adjustments that Ike makes. The first one I'll just already accept. Any other thoughts? Let me check for hands raised. Nobody at the moment. And I'm picking up on Ike's second comments as well. Put that in. Any other suggestions, or do you feel that this one is reflecting our discussion? Okay, pull me back if needed or make notes. Otherwise, then we're going to go to the next one. Recommend that ONC initiates a collaborative initiative with the patient, pharmacy, provider, public health communities, including CDC, and STILTS to prioritize use cases focusing on pharmacist needs to access by pharmacists to patient medical record held by the patient providers as part of the care team under emergency use interventions, as well as during normal operation, access by providers to a patient's medical records held by a pharmacist, access by public health to records held by pharmacies. And we need to take Ike's earlier comments around public health organizations, clean that up, and that we probably in the first statement are missing pharmacists. And then follow up with and identify the appropriate relevant data sets, such as those captured using the pharmacist e-care plan in the communications with payers for these use cases to ensure the right amount of data is shared for the use case at hand. Not too much, not too little. That might not be necessary, that last part. Thoughts?
So we could probably simplify the language again here, looking at bidirectional exchange, and simplify that, right?
So collapse the three access dots by just doing it to the first two bidirectional access between.
Yeah, and then include all the relevant parties.
Right. Yeah.
Hans, it's Alexis. I had my hand up, but I guess I'll just jump in at this point.
Yeah.
So I had made comments on the document yesterday in red that don't seem to be there now in regards to the piece that says after emergency use intervention as well as during normal operation. And we had spent a lot of time going back and forth in the past about outside of emergency use, having consent from patients to have access by the pharmacist to medical records. So I don't know where my comments went, but I did have after the as well as during normal operation, considering putting in something about, you know, with patient consent. And then again, on the line, it just jumped. So now I can't see it. Okay, there we go. Again, where it says access to the medical records by the pharmacist to also put in with consent.
Okay, there might have been a comment that if you go to column D for a moment, in topic one, next to it, I'm looking for your comment there because I have seen it and I thought that we combine it with other consent statements. We can obviously, we can put it in here as well, but there are a couple of other places where consent is specifically called out more extensively.
And
looks like the comments were deleted or we'd be able to see them.
Not sure what happened there then.
And this is Steve, to augment that, I would go so far as to say that the consent needs to be clear from the patient perspective as to what they're consenting to.
Agree.
That oftentimes consents are buried so far deep in a 22-page agreement that you don't really know what you're agreeing to.
Okay, so we'll look at that, see what happened with that, and pull that back in. Alexis, I'm probably going to follow up with you because there's another place in pretty sure it's topic two where consent is coming back and some additional comments were made so that we make sure that both of them are aligned and not too duplicative. And that will be in row. There we go. I'll get to that. I'll find that. Okay. Other comments on this one?
So Hans, this is Christian. I have a comment.
Go ahead.
It does relate to the consent conversation and just maybe pull it back out to a high level to explain a little bit about what we see in the clinical space in pharmacies today is the consent obviously is part of our process to engage with the patient, but the incentive and or push or awareness to engage usually from a contractual standpoint is usually driven by a payer scenario where the health plan may have performance goals and metrics for their business models. They contract with the pharmacies or build it into their payment arrangements that they must do certain types of clinical interventions with the patients, and they will typically produce a panel and or casework for them to pursue, at which the pharmacists then have I guess compelled in some cases in order to ensure reimbursements are proper with their cash flow arrangements, or from a performance payment model, then have to reach out to the patient and engage. And so the concept of permission linked to the patient's request often may be somehow pushed around or implied by a contractual arrangement with the payer, that we have to somehow figure out how to ensure in our ecosystem here that we're capturing. And where that comes down into play is, as a pharmacy, I've got a dispensing contract around a Medicare Part D plan book of business, for example. And it comes by default with expectations of engaging the patient for these health and wellness outcomes, somewhat independent of, but as an extension of the health plan arrangement. Permission may be given or may have to be given through the health plan's arrangements for engagement this way. And so it becomes somewhat repetitive for the pharmacy then to also have to ask that same permission at the pharmacy counter, for example, or if the patient gives permission at the pharmacy counter, That's not as portable. So thinking through this at a higher level, we need to understand that it's not just a provider being a pharmacist and a patient exchange of information to do this. There's a somewhat different type of forced push together scenario that comes through the payment arrangements that are disconnected. They're really tied to product distribution at this point. In the future, we hope those will be separated. But we just have to recognize that when we're thinking about this at the big picture, because the payers change the dynamic a little bit. And I think maybe a little different than what we see in the medical side of the equation.
Any particular recommendations or updates that you would see to this section, or do you believe that an additional one would be needed to clarify that, to drill down a little further into that? Would you have some suggestions for that?
Well, I think it comes down to what I put in the chat, for example, unless otherwise authorized by law, declared emergency. But you could probably generically talk whenever we have to bring this up, is consent from wherever consent is provided and not revoked is the general concept. So if the payer provides the evidence of the consent, the patient and pharmacist can engage, and the patient shouldn't have to reconsent, kind of thing, is because they've already consented through somebody in their care process for that type of activity. That's the key thing that we have to dial in. And then it will be less confusion for patients, it'll be less confusing for even our group here, misunderstanding the, is it just a consent? The patient could have 17 different types of consents out there that do 17 types of things. That's not going to solve any problems.
Okay. So we'll take your comments and then Alexis' comments that we pull from the history to make sure that that we pull them together into this and include that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And yes, we are using raising hands, but I'm jumping on a laptop between two screens or windows. You can only see one at a time. So that makes it at times hard. So please keep me honest if somebody wants to. Any other comments on the rationale? So we have some updates to do to the recommendation, collapsing the bullets a little bit more, streamline that to make it bi-directional, add in the thoughts and notes on consent, that it needs to be done in a consent framework, as discussed with notes from Alexis and Christian from both prior notes and the chats. Any comments on the rationale? And we probably then need to add some of the consent discussion into that rationale as well. Alexis, if you have any additional thoughts there, that would be great. No other comments there, then let's go to the next one that states that recommend that ONC establish a learning collaborative to explore the usage of privacy protecting a record linkage, PPRL, by different federal agencies, programs, and others on how standards for a PPRL use can be implemented and leveraged across surveillance research and other national priorities. This was based on a comment made by Helio. I'm not sure whether Helio is on the call. I don't think I saw him.
Hans, it's Alexis. I would suggest that we also put patient/caregiver, not just patient.
Okay, in this particular one? Or are you looking back at the prior?
No, the one that you just read.
Okay.
Hey, can I ask about that one real quick? By linkage, I think, because we're talking about notification, if I'm understanding this correctly, the notion here is that data may be transmitted to federal authorities and the ability to identify that we're talking about the same patient, but still have it be de-identified. If that's what we mean by linkage, then I guess, Alexis, the question would be, how does caregiver fit into that?
So I don't know if we're in the same place. So I'm talking about the one that Hans just read about the recommendation for a collaborative initiative.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find out where is the word patient.
We're talking about the same
thing. It's an initiative with patient, pharmacy, pharmacist, provider, and public health organizations.
Yeah, maybe we need to clarify what we mean by linkage, because my understanding of linkage is for de-identified data, how do we make sure that data coming from different sources is still about the same, is linked to the same patient while maintaining de-identification?
Well, I think we're talking about two different things. So maybe the recommendation, I'm not reading it clear enough then, so maybe we need to fix it and wordsmith it. But to me, it's talking about setting up a collaborative initiative that includes patients, pharmacies. So in the initiative, that also should include caregivers, especially when we're talking about, you know, pediatrics.
I think we're talking about two different recommendations.
That's what I just said before. You read that one. That was the one I commented on. And then Jim referenced a different one. And so I said, again, we're talking about two different ones.
Yeah, because we already read the last one on there, and that's why I got confused. The one that I just read last was recommend that ONC establish a learning collaborative to explore the usage of privacy protecting record linkage, PPRL, et cetera. That is after the one I think that you're talking about, where that starts with recommend that ONC initiate a collaborative initiative with the patient, pharmacist provider, including CDC, et cetera. And that's where you suggest caregiver to put that in there.
I think caregiver needs to go in both. So any learning collaborative would need to include caregivers as well as patients.
So in the last one, recommend that ONC establish a learning collaborative. We are not indicating yet who should be part of that. So the question is that, who should we list the same list?
Yes, and make sure that we include caregivers.
Jim.
Sorry, Hans, I'm lost. Where are we?
Okay, so there are two recommendations that start very similarly. The first one.
Are we still in cell two? Because it looks like you moved it to three.
Nope, we are still in E2. And if you go to E2.
Okay.
And you roll down with the bar a little bit to the bottom.
Okay, well, very good.
Hans, just for kicks and giggles, can you just really quickly give each of the recommendations in there kind of a letter in front, just so that we're all making sure?
Yeah. We'll talk about it. I was trying to put some in, but I think, Hans, we were going over each other. So I can add I was just adding these. You just let these.
Okay.
Yeah, just so that we're clear on where we're talking about, so it's easy.
Yeah, so.
All right, I'm out now. We're on four.
Yeah, so we were four, and I think Alexis went back to three, and then there's a comment that she made on three that we should consider for R4 as well. So.
Okay, I captured it for R3, and I'll capture it for R4.
Yes, because I think which that means is that those two recommendations start out very much the same, is that collaborative initiative with where R4 is not stating patient, caregiver, any of those, is that I'm hearing Alexa say, no, we should include that in there as well.
And it should.
Same list.
R4 probably should be not necessarily national priorities, because there may be state priorities or other jurisdictional priorities as well.
Okay, so national and state priorities. Okay, and then Jim, based on this clarification as well, of a concern in R4, that by putting in the full list, patient, caregiver, pharmacy, pharmacist, provider, and public health organizations, that we repeat that, and that's the same start in R4.
Okay.
Okay. We'll copy that across. Alexis, does that address your concern?
Yes.
Okay. And
Hans, it's also not, it should be also, in addition, not just to fit, not constrained to federal agencies.
Yes, federal and state agencies.
It might potentially, it's broader than that if you're looking at research components outside of, you know, outside of government activity. If you're looking, I mean, it may be governmental regulation, but for example, if you're trying to build a de-identified research repository for clinical research outside of a government-managed registry, that would be an instance where you may have the same challenge, but again, not a governmental entity creating the data resource.
Okay. We'll sniff that a little bit more. Alexis, on R2, or on R3, I should say, would you be willing to do a little bit more wordsmithing on that with the comments made? I will certainly look for where what happened to your other comments, but would you like to do that?
Sure.
Okay.
Alexis, you might look and see if you made your comments on a spreadsheet version that might have been sent out or something.
No, I sent them on the document that went out.
Okay.
It's a history feature. We should be able to find, look back on edits that were made. I mean, Google Doc, Google Sheets should have that history feature.
All right. One reminder, if you can, try to use raising hands. That would be great. I need to do a better job flipping between screens to see the latest hands raised. I'm trying to do that as frequently as possible. But if you can use that, that would be great. And then we can jump to that person in sequence. Any additional comments on R4 or R3? Then let's go to the next cell, that is E3. Yeah, this is fun part with spreadsheets. Soon we're going to move to the Word documents. I think you need to go through that, yeah. If you do page down, you can get that too. Okay, this one. This states that recommend that ONC coordinate advancements in the integration of pharmacies, pharmacists into the public health fabric, including CDC and STILTS, to share critical data more widely from and with all involved in the test to treat process. And I suggested to remove the rest. And then the rationale after that, with an additional word as suggested by Ike. Any comments on that recommendation?
Is it actionable?
What would you want to add to make it actionable? What specifically?
Yeah, it's not clear to me what they're going to do with that.
Fair point from, let's see, if you go to the left, this one had been brought up by Ike, by Christian. So Christian, maybe you have some additional thoughts on which ones to call out further?
Well, a lot of this, of my recommendation here, is from experience and what we do regulatorily to empower pharmacists at the state level where they don't have provider status or they're not recognized. And part of our pathway to do that, especially with regard to public health, was to partner with like our Board of Pharmacy. We partner with our local state agencies, either the Medicaid program or the Department of Health, to issue statewide protocols and standing orders. That became a pseudo authoritative way to broadly and quickly address public health emergencies and needs by de facto creating, you know, authorities or pulling back or eliminating restrictions. So I think it is actionable. I think it is, those types of approaches are possible. And the COVID pandemic kind of illustrated that that can be done Hopefully the data over the years will show that it was done safely and to benefit for the public. But we I think that's a way to broadly approach the issue of adoption and facilitation and driving IT development and interoperability interests by recommending that be a pathway to avoid some of the state legislative, some of the Board of Pharmacy regulatory limitations that pharmacists do face. So that also includes this idea of how do you engage them in public health, whether it's a health public health entity, state or federal. These are ways that I know from our position here in Missouri, where I sit on the Board of Pharmacy, we had federal authorities that that were issued under the PrEP Act that we had to actually go back and modify state law or waive state law to make sure that they were aligned. These are the things I'm trying to solve for when emergencies come up. And if we can have a broad ONC approach to that, then I think some of that stuff helps other states broadly. We were pretty reactive. Other states took some time, but that's where I was going with these recommendations here.
You have a comment in that context.
Yeah, no, it was, I put it in the chat and you added it, or Tricia Lee added it in the comments. This is, this is great stuff, but it'll be much more impactful if we can think about how we could frame this recommendation in terms of the, frankly, limited authorities that ONC actually has. So for example, they, the setting of standards, the development of information blocking rules, every now and then you can sort of pull on their sort of bully pulpit, not necessarily authority, but gravitas, I guess, is somewhat of a word that might describe it as a convener of entities to kind of help resolve this. But I'm not sure that they have any way to deal with this directly. And we admit it so in the rationale. Such adoption is beyond the scope of ONC. So it doesn't mean that there's not a value to the recommendation, but I'm just not sure that the space in which we're recommending has any power to do anything about it.
Would it help if the recommendation was more of a... has a preamble of recognition of these are some of the hurdles, and that the recommendation then go to more around ensuring at least IT is supportive of pharmacists operating in this manner?
Yeah,
and then
absolutely would help. It absolutely would help. And in terms of sort of ONC work with other organizations, I see Pooja's comment in the chat, like that's okay too, but as long as ONC is acting from a space of its authority as opposed to asking ONC to pass a recommendation on to another entity, which doesn't mean we couldn't do it, but we shouldn't, it sort of strays a little bit because we only advise one office and that's ONC.
On that note, I just started to type not complete yet, that perhaps if we add something, and Christian, you might be able to look at that further and addressing Stephen's question, that we add something more along the lines of through the advancement and adoption of critical standards, et cetera, et cetera. That's the area where ONC can work and focus a little bit more on that. Would that help?
Yeah, and it may be a little overly broad ask, but it almost comes down in my mind to build it anyway, and then we'll work on the other stuff that allows it. because what we're trying to do is conceptually facilitate the IT needs to support pharmacists as providers and pharmacist services. Everything we're talking about in these scenarios of public health and emergency use scenarios. So we have to have a framework there that can then be supported by regulatory and or legislative changes. So it is a chicken and the egg argument, but I think we have an opportunity to limit the barriers or reduce some barriers, allow barriers to fall if we can say, but it can be done. We have it in place. It's a legislative regulatory scenario. I think if we could frame our recommendation to support that, then we can move in that direction in anticipation or in support of allowing for some of the regulatory and or legislative walls that are prohibiting this interoperability and this coordination of care from happening, I think the IT can lead that conversation.
In that context, maybe if we go to the next cell in a moment that has one of the recommendations around a certification approach that we have been talking about, perhaps depending on how we arrive at that, we come back to this one and see, is there anything else that we want to add that is beyond or separate from certification that ONC can do to add to advancement there? And then perhaps, Kristen, you have an opportunity to further wordsmith E3 in that context.
Yeah, I think looking at the, this is like looking at what, you know, examples of what a metric or a standard might be is kind of relevant. I guess let's get into the next recommendation as we're jumping around.
All right. So do we want to hold this one for a moment? We go to E4, look at the recommendation, particularly the second one there, and then we'll come back, circle back, and Kristen, see what else we can do to clarify, offset it, or recognize that it might be part of that as the primary thing what ONC can do.
Okay.
Is that reasonable?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else before we move on? So we're going to come back. We're going to circle back, but we're going to then look at E4. Don't want to jump around too much. So let's first look at the first recommendation in E4. Recommend that ONC work with the public health community, including CDC and STILTS, to create a set of metrics and outcome measures specifically addressing key measures that identify the advances and gaps in exchange of clinical data between pharmacists capturing clinical data related to immunizations, medications, treatments, et cetera, during the pharmacist encounters. I think we can clean that up a little bit and make that shorter to the point, a little bit of repetition, but any comments generally around that? And IQ initially had a question in an earlier iteration of that, what was intended. And we were wondering whether this made it more clear or not yet. Don't see any hands up.
Hey, Hans, this is Christian. I'm sorry. I'll raise my hand. I don't know that I don't even know if I, this is part of my recommendations, but when I think about what this seems to be leading towards is this idea of you know, the reporting of coverage of the of types of interventions using pharmacist data that is surrogate data that indicates something happened or did not happen or may or not have happened. So, you know, when we see from health department data reporting and state level data reporting, you know, the population health metrics are showing percentages of counties that have had X, Y, or Z done. That's what I'm thinking this might be, unless that's other people are seeing it otherwise. But it really kind of comes down to there's a lot of data that can be discerned from pharmacists work that is not being captured out there that contributes or implies or can corroborate engagement, and public health is missing that. And it's really these markers of pharmacist professional awareness, engagement, dedication, whatever, but it really is, there's so much information in our computer systems out there in these pharmacies that public health is just missing and making assumptions about something happening or not. So I think having information about that, if it's relevant for public health outcomes, then getting reports back, maybe even at a more granular level, that can really help help advance and target engagement, you know, funding dollars where they need to go in different areas of the country, things like that. With regard to the case reporting, that's very relevant to point of care testing. We see that obviously in our regulatory standpoint where we're writing the regs around what pharmacists need to do in this space. But when we start in these clinical worlds of test to treat, maybe even issuing and authorizing labs to validate things, we're going to come across, our pharmacists come across different public health scenarios that in the medical world are mandatory reporting type of things. Pharmacists generally are not engaged in that. So we'll have to have some ways to do that, both at a regulatory, this is your scope of practice, you must do this level, but also how do you do it efficiently in the IT environment? And are the systems designed to auto-route information around that? So that's what I see here. I don't know that I have a specific recommendation, but I kind of, if I've interpreted this right, I'm leaning towards, I think there's some value here. We may have to dial it in.
Yeah, if you have any additional thoughts on recommendations beyond the measures identified here, that would be great. So then we can put your name behind that.
Well, the recommendation on measures would have to be identifying the appropriate pharmacy-specific, measure group, whether it's consensus or otherwise, that can identify this for the purposes of use of public health. And I think that may be the recommendation, which is if there's meat on this bone for the rationale, then the recommendation comes down to a simple phrase like ONC, work with the lead in here, and relevant subject matter expertise, entities consensus and or other, to identify meaningful metrics and outcome measures specifically around the public health use gaps. Does that make sense?
Can you make that update to this recommendation?
I'll log in and do it. Yes.
Can you give an example as to what you're considering a metric or outcome measure?
For example, if we we're talking about a respiratory emergency like we've had with COVID, and obviously it goes beyond respiratory, but what are the factors that indicate whether or not a patient has been has all the necessary or the recommended countermeasures in their hands or having been engaged in? So typically we're going to do that through a screening process, but there are some significant indicators. If they are high risk in a particular disease state, it may make sense for them to have nebulizers and certain types of rescue medications on hand. If there's a recommended countermeasure provided, has that been made available? For example, we think about COVID-19 testing kits. It could be as simple as have they been dispensed, but it could be something more. Have they had their COVID shots? Have they had these things? So it goes beyond just the vaccination piece, I guess. Is there some sort of validation to say they have masks in hand? Those type of things is what I'm thinking.
Sounds more like evaluation of medical delivery, more so than a assessment of data.
Well, you could also throw in things that are specific to the proper use of medications. So in this recommendation, as is, it has immunizations, medication treatments prescribed, dispensed, and administered, such as the antivirals and case reporting. So those are test to treat type of things. But you could put things like serum creatinines and liver function tests. Are those available in the pharmacy and were they considered? Which would imply that they're being considered in validation of the dosing going out, which is part of, as we know, with the COVID process and say Paxlovid, that was a critical thing in terms of what pharmacists had to do and deal with. But it's an indicator of overall health.
Christian and Ike, would you be able to have a follow-up conversation to see how this can be further advanced to capture some of those thoughts?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm happy to.
Yes, I'm thinking that some of this ties in to some of the work ONC has done in the last little bit in terms of the evaluation criterion around EHR performance. And I think that's probably a place to leverage. So this is what I think this builds on.
Okay. Yeah, if you can follow up together and come up with a advancement to that recommendation, will be great. Anna.
Hey there. I guess I just wanted to voice a concern that's going through my head as I hear this. I think some of, you know, what Christian suggested makes a lot of sense in many respects. My concern, however, is that, you know, take the instance that he just mentioned about serum creatinine and as it relates to Paxlovid dosing. There's so many like lower hanging fruit as it relates to getting access to information or access to Paxlovid than getting my serum creatinine levels to my pharmacist. Because, I mean, I have kidney disease. It's difficult to identify a pharmacy that actually has the renal dosing for Paxlovid. I mean, the amount of time and effort it took for me to just identify the inventory or have the pharmacy call around to different pharmacies when I was sick with COVID to identify where I could get this stuff with as few as Uber needed as possible took a lot of time. So like I knew I had kidney disease, the doctor knew I had kidney disease, they called on that RX. I mean, I wanna make sure that, and I'm prone to like making recommendations that are not within OSC's jurisdiction as well. And maybe this is an ONC's jurisdiction, but like, I really think that there are lower hanging fruit that would have a significant impact on the life and capability of patients and providers to be able to, and pharmacists to be able to act in a public health emergency. We're grouping it like in these things should happen now, these things should happen 5 years from now, or, you know, soon, or 3 years from now, whatever cadence makes sense. But
it's probably long-term.
Yeah. So yeah, if you can look at that and see if there's anything specific for ONC that they can follow up with, that would be great. If that's going to be the challenge throughout here, what can ONC do?
Yeah, I guess this is Steve again. It sounds kind of close perhaps to a modification or an extension of CMS's requirements under promoting interoperability, looking at the exchange of patient data. And those regulations are in CMS's world, not really in ONC's.
Right. Can you have a look at that? And then maybe as part of, together with Christian and see whether anything can be blended in that ONC can do, or whether they have to work with somebody else that they have an opportunity to do that. Why don't we look at R7? It's a bigger one, a little bit more text there. And that is about certification, where there has been a discussion around. So it states that recommend that ONC initiates the development of a certification approach in collaboration with critical industry organizations such as NCPP, HL7, NAPB, others could be listed as well if you need to, for key functionality for pharmacy-based interoperability across practice settings. For example, community clinicals, specialty pharmacies, LTPAC, et cetera, should be clinics. To encourage adoption of the necessary standards and technology by pharmacies and pharmacists to interact with providers throughout the test and treatment process during emergency operations. Such a program should focus on the following use cases, and that's the list of use cases that we had developed. And we are going to describe them a little bit further in general before we get to the recommendations to have the context. And then it follows with, and utilize the same standards used in ONC's current certification program, particularly HL7 version 2, CCTA, Firebase, Implementation Guide, SMART, NCPDP script, direct messaging, IG, document exchange. Consideration should be given to specialty certification and consider bidirectional certification of pharmacy description and standards, encouraging the use of additional transaction to support clinical data exchange, including consideration for the use of pharmacist e-care plan. So it's fairly broad, but not that could all be done at once, but that is generally the idea to advance this and have that standards focus. That's a program that takes the use cases that we identified and then work with the community to understand what needs to be there, what can already be certified on both sides, what's already on one side, what needs to be on the other side, etc. That's the intent behind this. Okay, let's see what are their comments. Christian.
Yeah, so just a high level comment that certification is challenging for the pharmacy space, especially with so many disparate solutions providers. And the costs will be significantly passed on to the individual pharmacies and providers. I'll just put my small business owner hat on, and certification does say translate to me as that's going to cost a lot. However, that being said, the list of use cases here, I would just like to make a couple of recommendations. I do think that we have concepts such as digital therapeutics and pharmacogenomics that are not on this list that are very relevant here. There's so much, it's moving so fast. There's so much non-standardization in that space. There's a lot of innovation in that space and not a lot of regulation in that space. So we might want to think about those two use cases being incredibly, we're going to see a lot of pressure over the next couple of years, a few years on that, in those two spaces. And we might want to think about what ONC's role is in terms of ensuring that the quality data and quality standardization of that data is captured in recommendations, whether it's short or long term. FDA already has put out statements on the fact of their concern around AI-based clinical decision making and some of these technological solutions, including in devices. So I think that's probably our cue that we need to be thinking about standardization and the type of data that we're going to be exchanging amongst ourselves in these decision-making processes.
Thank you. Yeah, and your comment around the additional use cases point well, just until we got to the task three, and that's where particularly the other ones come up. So yes, they agreed that they should be added. Going to Ike, but also generally thinking about, it's a balancing act between how do we advance adoption of common standards to make this work. So when you start to already pre-read into the next recommendation, is trying to address that funding challenge and see what can be done there. So while we continue discussion on the certification part, have a look at the next one as well. Ike.
Hi, I think there is value. Yeah, I noticed that my comment about taking out information about full transparency and like was removed from the patient engagement item. I think that's really, really important based on past discussions. We need, you know, if we're building something from relative scratch, we need to not make the same set of choices we made earlier where we didn't have as much technology available around transparency. We really need to highlight that so we're building right this time around.
Completely agree. What's actually what we were thinking of is that rather than having these further explanation in each one of these, which could be done for the other ones as well, if we look at topic two, we defined a series of use cases, including this one. We included your statements there so that we can explain what is encompassed within patient engagement so that this recommendation need not repeat the content of what's part of that as those topics. So that was the intent to organize that comment in a different place, but not drop it.
Wonderful. And that may be one of the kind of, not necessarily looking at patient engagement, but kind of from an overarching recommendation might be, hey, let's look back at the things that we've learned thus far in interoperability and exchange and look at that as a foundation for new work so that we can make improvements as we're implementing relatively things in a relatively new greenfield development.
Would that be something along the lines of initiating development of a streamlined certification approach based on current experiences and then keep on going? Something in that direction that you're trying to incorporate?
Well, it just occurred to me that that might be a more holistic recommendation overall that says, hey, we've got quite a bit of experience with interoperability. We know holistically some things work well, some things not so much. and there's room for improvement as we're exploring and implementing things in this new space. Let's make things as best as we can while still maintaining compatibility with what's come before.
Okay, that sounds like a good point, and then we actually then should pull it out as a separate recommendation and add it to it so that it's based on experience to date and streamlined where it can be and advanced.
Because that would apply really to every single recommendation that we're making in this document.
Yes.
That we're not in a vacuum. We do have a bunch of years of experience now.
Okay.
Let's build upon it.
All right. Thank you. We'll make that note and expand that. I see, Pusha, you had your hand up earlier, and then you made a comment in the chat that you wanted to highlight not only that it's specialty, but as the current certification program, which is voluntary, that we want to highlight this should be voluntary as well.
Yeah, I just remember in the discussion, I think someone had pointed to like a pediatric certification, right? That's technically, I guess we consider it specialty, but it's also voluntary. So I'm just wondering, given the concerns about, you know, the cost and whether or not we can actually get funding, I just want to make sure this next recommendation that we're going to go through is clear that, you know, that maybe what we should consider recommending is kind of a voluntary certification, or like everyone mentioned before, right, just around certain things. So I just wasn't sure if specialty also equated to voluntary, because I've heard that tossed around a couple times in the context of certification.
The comment is made in R7 or in R8?
Actually, I'm looking at the rationale for R7, I think. I'm on my laptop too, so I think that's where it calls for voluntary, right? Sorry, now I missed it, but I'll put it in the chat. Let me find where it says voluntary.
Yep. And then if you have a particular suggestion on then where to put in the wording, yep, that'd be great.
I'll add that in.
Okay, so we only have 2 minutes left. So before going to R8, this is where we'll pick it up next and keep on going. We'd like to go back for just a moment on the recommendation in E3. And Christian, whether you believe in light of what we just discussed with certification and recognizing that it only can work, and if you put in voluntary more clearly funding in R8, would a recommendation in E3, that is R5, how would we further advance that? And perhaps that's where you might be able to provide some suggestions on, is it part of or is it something separate that we need to dig into a little bit deeper?
From my perspective, I mean, the certification, the voluntary seems more workable and probably provides a better run-in period for people to adopt rather than a hard line. Independent community pharmacists and even those that are just operating clinically on their own really rely on our system vendors to do this. So it becomes a burden both to them as well as to us. So I'd say the certification conversation, my lean is more voluntary, but from the coordination of engagement, R3 and R5 recommendations, I think we need to talk about it. We need to understand that we're all trying to get to a certain point that works for everybody, including public health and individual patients. So certifications is going to be a significant burden.
Can you
slow down?
Can you make a first or a suggestion then offline on how to advance R5 a little bit further to make that more clear? Would that work? Christian, is that okay?
Yes, it is. I will look it up.
That would be great. All right, then we are at time for public comments. So I'm going to pass it back to Mike, and then we'll have any time left. We'll keep on going where we left off.
Okay, thanks, Hans. We're going to now open up our meeting for public comments. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be just on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause this for a moment to see if any members of the public raise their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Hans, so I'll turn it back to you.
All right, thank you. So let's then go back to the spreadsheets, and then we'll use the remaining 9 minutes to make a little bit more progress. So Christian is going to have a look at R5. Let's jump down into, we talked about R7. We did not talk about R8 yet, other than generally. R8, indicates that recommend that ONC work with HHS to enabling receipt of incentives to develop and adopt certified HRT under ONC's HRT certification program. For example, through fund, that word dropped for a moment. That was too far to the right. Through full recognition of pharmacists as providers, and then the rationale. Any thoughts around that? I don't see any hands raised, so does that mean that everybody is in agreement with R8 and the rationale? We got it. Maybe some fine tuning, but other than that, we're good. I don't hear anybody, so that must be that we got that one complete. So let's look at the last one for today, probably, that is R9. R9 states that recommend that ONC work with pharmacist networks and the public health community to identify methods such as tokenization and privacy preserving record linkage, PPRL capabilities in combination with relevant standards as well as record locator services, patient linking knowledge for further advancing linking the patient data across multiple sources to the same de-identified person record to establish a more complete person record for analytics that can fully and accurately incorporate pharmacist-sourced data. Ties in a little bit with the prior one that we had on PPRL. Not sure where we can combine it, but they sounded very much in the same space. So curious about two topics. One is that, does this work? Should we combine it with the other PPRL comment that we made?
I think combining them makes sense, Hans. Though I'm not volunteering to do the wordsmithing.
Okay.
Also, Hans, I just wanted to slip in since nobody mentioned anything about R8. I mean, that's such an important recommendation. I mean, it passed without comment, but it's so central to all the discussions we've been having. I just wanted to highlight it.
Because I think this is what we come down back to. It's what has been working so far is that voluntary certification with voluntary participation in programs that have incentives to encourage everybody to participate. But if you only have one certification, not the other, it's not working. And that's what needs to be there. And a fair point in the chat. The sequence right now is that it's in sequence of how to talk through it, but a number of these, the sequence in which we're actually going to organize it, are like recommendations together, so that we can touch on the same theme. And some of these ones, like critical ones, that they are going to be on top. Exactly what sequence we still need to work out, but we'll work through that shortly as well. Yeah, and I see a number of different comments in the chat that while nobody else spoke up per se, in the chat there's definitely support for that recommendation. That's a key one. Thank you, Stephen. Okay, no. With that, we still actually have a little bit of time left. We can find our way into the next section. What you start to see right now is that there are some blank spaces as well. And when you go for a moment to the left-hand side to D5, we think that we covered it in other topics, in E4 or in E2, for example. So, Summer and Kristen, if you just want to look at that and make sure that that is accurate, and if not, if you can suggest what additional recommendations we should make to highlight the key points that you were trying to hone in on. That's the reason why E5 is blank, because we thought that other topics addressed that already. And then let's go to what might then be the last one. This is going to be, I think, R10, Tricia, if I count correctly. In E6 is recommend that ONC recognize provider-pharmacist interactions as a critical component of trusted exchange frameworks, treatment exchange purpose, and address the barriers and encourage education for pharmacies and pharmacists to join the TEF as it's operationalized. This should address both the ability for pharmacists to query providers as well as providers querying pharmacies for patient data. So a way to further advance as well to make sure is that under TEFCA, that there are no further barriers that would enable participation by everybody. Any thoughts on that? Okay, there is a question from Christian on PPRL solution may need to be necessary for QN interoperability. That's an interesting one. There are record location servers that are being used that would be there, and that would be an interesting topic as to how do they actually tie together. So let's hold that thought. I see Anna has a question, and that's probably the last topic comments for today. And we're going to wrap up after that. But Anna, go ahead. You have the last word.
So I went in yesterday and put in a number of recommendations in my not the final recommendation column. So they're all based off the use cases that I'd submitted previously. And I apologize for just getting them in yesterday. I've had some personal and family health stuff recently that's gotten my attention. So or diverted my attention. So I just wanted to, I would like for them to at least be considered, and we didn't discuss them today. So just wanted to highlight that there are several.
Yes, and we started to notice that you had to just added them. We're going to go back through that to make sure that they are, have they already been addressed or are they new, and then we're going to move them into column E accordingly. We didn't have a chance to suggest them quite yet.
And again, they're all stuff that I had mentioned before but or elaborate on the use cases. I just haven't converted them into specific recommendations or suggestions.
We appreciate that. That will make it a lot easier to put them into wherever they fit. Thank you. All right, unless there are any other final comments, I think we have arrived at the end of the meeting. Next week, we're going to go continue in some of the specialty medication topics, the three that we had from task three and some additional. So we hope that we'll wrap that off up in the next 1 or 2 weeks. And then we're really going to dive back deep into these recommendations, make sure that we are fine-tuning them and completing them during October so that we have a final recommendation by November the 9th. So by October the 19th, we will have a task force update at that point in time on all the progress made and a glimpse into the recommendations that we got so far. So thank you very much for all the discussion, contributions, all the notes in the chat that we have. So we'll take those and move forward. And please, if you have any suggestions, thoughts, as you have seen, I drop in red mark that if you have made suggestions on the text, please do so that it as well. Thank you very much and have a great day.